Hey all, Rob Cairns here. I'm the CEO and chief creator of Amazing Ideas up at stunningdigitalmarketing.com. I hope everybody's hanging in during the COVID-19 crisis. Today, first we'll get to the news. I have a couple of COVID stories, a couple of non-COVID stories. And then we'll get on to the podcast where I talk to my good friend Todd Jones, where we talk about COVID-19's impact to small business. Sit back, relax, and now on to the news. Hey, all, thanks for joining me for today's news segment. The first story is non-COVID-19 related. What a shock. Curly Neal, the longtime Harlem Globetrotter super dribbler, passed away today at the age of 77. I have fond memories of Curly on ABC's Wide World of Sports, entertaining fans from all over the globe. He was truly a global ambassador. COVID-19 crisis continues. Cases continue to climb. In Ontario, we're into day two of a provincial emergency. And two stores, Leon's and a Brick, owned by the same owner, decide to stay open. Frankly, I hope the government fines them, and I'm talking thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars for doing so. They had no business. There's still a few price gougers out there with products, but the Ontario government says they will deal with them accordingly. In some better news, if you want to join some live streaming, do some searches, there's some all kinds of artists doing performances from home to entertain people. Communities are coming together, which is absolutely amazing. So, you know, check them out and be safe and take care of your loved ones. Hey everybody, Rob Cairns here with my good friend, Mr. Todd Jones. And Todd's in Conway, Arkansas, correct? And correct. How are you today, Todd?
Oh, making it pretty good, I guess. It's a little warm here today, so that's a little bit, no rain right now, so that's pretty good. We've had a lot of rain last week or so.
And we all know, and we're doing good here, and we all know everybody's in, like, the COVID-19 crisis mode. Todd and I spend way too much time on Facebook, probably, I would say, probably too much time on Twitter, and we know what's going on in the world. And I'm in Toronto, so it's a bit bigger city than Conway, and we thought we'd talk about what's going on in a smaller town setting. You made a trip.
How big is Toronto? How many people?
3 million in Toronto and 6 million in the Greater Toronto Area.
Okay, so your Greater Toronto Area is twice the size of Arkansas in population.
Yes, yeah.
A little bit of context.
Just a little bit. So what I thought I'd throw at Todd was he made a trip to the grocery store today. We'll start there. How did that go?
It went pretty well. I mean, I had some rubber gloves I had on. My mom made sure I had those, so I put those on. Went to the store. Of course, we have certain things that are in high demand, but not very much there. And then paper products being one of them. Last several times I've gone to the store, no toilet paper to be had. So that was one of them, of course. And then we've been looking for clean wipes, like Clorox wipes, for a while, too. And I was able to get a canister of that today. And I bought some paper towels, and I think I made a little tweet on Twitter about, hey, I got some paper towels I can trade for toilet paper. So if anybody gets to buy it, I have paper towels, and we can switch it out for toilet paper. And it's a good time, kind of, too. It's like brawny, so.
Yeah. It's actually at the point where Costco and, believe it or not, certain stores don't have even things like flour in Toronto, sugar I've been after in Toronto, I finally got today, and things like that. So, you know, it's pretty interesting. Is there anything else really missing in the small towns in the shelves?
I was a little interested that you know, when I got in there, in some areas like frozen vegetables and frozen fruit were low. They weren't out. The pickings were slim, as we would say here. Especially the vegetables, I was really surprised about that.
Yeah.
So that was kind of unusual. Some things are starting to be, you know, of course it's Tuesday and by the time mid morning, and I don't know. You can just see that people are just taking what they can at this point. And I'm like, boy, we're really close to, you know, what I would imagine an actual apocalypse is like, you know.
Yeah.
Just very little, but we're not, I mean, we're not there. It's still plenty in the store. It's just certain things you can't get hardly all. And we're not out of toilet paper in our household, but it's just one of those things where, like, every time we go, we look, you know, because we know we're going to be out eventually. So,
yeah. And I think, you know, I think the other thing you got to watch for is, I know in Toronto, many grocery stores actually have marks every 6 feet on the floor by the cash. So you keep your social distancing. We're going through some of that. They have signs up saying, keep it. Many retailers are encouraging you to pay with debit or credit so they don't have to handle cash. They're not doing cash back. We have several stores in Toronto that sell lottery tickets, and they're not selling lottery tickets right now. If you want them, you got to go online. I mean, you know, there's some of that going on.
I have no idea if that's going on here. It's very possible. I didn't see 6 feet line markers. The line I was in, I was like, there was a lady in front of me, and there was me, and that was it. And so it was pretty, we were pretty well spread apart. It wasn't too crowded. You got to remember, we're a very rural town, very rural city or state, very rural state. And I think probably in general, most people here have a little bit more space than you might be live in the city and can maybe stock up a few more things than some people could do. You know, you got a bigger house or a little bit more space or maybe a storage area, and you can get that extra 2 or 3 packages of toilet paper and, you know, that kind of thing. So that may play into it as well.
Yeah. Are you guys experiencing any issues where you're starting to close banks or things like that in a small town at this point?
I know one of my banks has closed. I think all of them actually have closed their lobby, you know. So they all have drive-throughs. I mean, most of them.
Yeah.
And so you can pretty much take care of what you need to do. I mean, it's a little bit more inconvenient, but maybe more convenient if you think about it. I'm kind of with something like a bank, I rarely go. So I don't have a problem getting out and going in and actually talking to somebody and getting them helping with stuff if I need to. I think most banks here have closed their lobbies.
Yeah, we still have, Canada, we have some drive-throughs and some not. And I was in a bank today, and what I'll tell you is that particular bank had somebody standing at the door saying, what did you need to come in for, and asking you. Basically saying, if you could do it from the machine, do it from the machine. And unfortunately, one of the pearls of apartment living is you still have to do laundry. And one of the pearls of doing laundry is you need quarters and loonies. And the only place you're getting them is the bank. And of course, you and I are both sports fans, and there's not a lot to watch on TV right now, is there?
Reruns, yeah. I think that, you have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think if I understood right, NASCAR did their show a virtual race Sunday, and this is the time of year in dirt track racing in the rural area in the States is pretty big. This is the time of year tracks would start having like play days and stuff like that. I doubt any of them are doing any of that right now. So, and of course, March Madness would be going on right now.
Yep.
So that's gone. It's just kind of an interesting time in sports. You either love it or hate it this time of year because there's no football, but about every other sport there is playing.
Mind you, this year there was.
A lot of people like it.
Mind you, this year there was.
XFL, yeah.
XFL, and they've canceled the season.
Yeah, XFL was right playing. Yeah, they were doing well. And, in fact, I noticed that Carolina signed a quarterback from the XFL yesterday.
They did. So,
but anyway, you know, with the exception of the XFL, there's no football. So if you're a huge football fan, you don't really like this time of year. But if you like all the other sports, this is a great time of year. You have golf, you have hockey, you have basketball, NBA and college, you have golf, you have racing, you got all that at the same time. And then you have the NFL Combine and the draft, and you have baseball. College baseball is huge in the South because most of the best teams are from the South.
Yeah.
With the exception of, was it last year that Michigan won the thing?
Michigan won it. Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, you have, you know, and our fans are, we've had a really good baseball team at University of Arkansas for a while. So our fans are really passionate about going up to Fayetteville and watching those guys play. And there's really something cool and special about sitting outside when the weather's nice.
Yeah.
And watching a baseball game. Even I admit, I like baseball live much better than I do on TV. And I would go watch my nephew when he'd play. And at the high school, and I'd always get a bag of peanuts and Dr. Pepper, and sit there and eat those peanuts while he played. But you know, those days are past. But yeah, there's not much. And then of course, you and I are big in wrestling, and you know, all it's been is wrestling in an empty arena. And I have been amazed how they have attempted to carry storylines, sometimes successfully, sometimes not so successfully, both the WWE and the AEW. And I think last week, if I had to be honest with you, as far as wrestling in their empty arena, I think AEW won that. They had number of matches in the arena. They had some people at ringside, usually other wrestlers, which kind of gave a little bit, you know, gave some interaction. There was a 4-way women's match that was going on, and then they had the debut of. Mr. Delete himself. So that was a big win for AEW. NXT, from what I saw, was just doing a video vignette on Ciampa and Gargano. It was really good, but it was like it took up at least the whole first hour.
Yeah.
So they're scrambling, and every day I think you hear something different about what they're going to do with WrestleMania. And
I almost wonder if it won't go. And you and I were talking about this on Facebook chat the other day, and you kind of look at what's gone on with another fighting channel called UFC, and they've basically canceled. And the last I read today was they're guaranteed a spot for their next fight. And guess what? They won't say where because they're afraid somebody's going to shut them down. You know,
yeah. So. UFC to me is a different deal. I mean, we know wrestling is kind of scripted. Professional wrestling is kind of scripted, and they can control whether or not someone has blood. Mostly, you know, you say we're gonna do this now. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be in contact like that. I'm not excusing that at all, but I'm just saying. But I was watching some UFC. They had a lot of UFC matches over the weekend on ESPN. They're reruns.
Yeah, they're rerunning a lot.
One of them was the Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz
match. I like Conor McGregor, and I'll tell you, one of the best interviews I ever heard was Conor McGregor with Tony Robbins talking about the mindset of a UFC fighter. Absolutely. Like, everybody thinks Conor's a big, tough guy. I got to tell you, what an amazing interview. What an amazing interview.
But that match, both those guys were bleeding pretty good by the third round. And I'm thinking there's no way you can have those kind of matches at a time like this.
Yep.
Wrestling, if you know both guys are healthy, you can do it and tell them that, you know, unless there's an accident, there cannot be blood. And we were
talking about that before we came on. Rey Mysterio, for one, is under quarantine, isn't he?
You told me that. I hadn't heard that, but it doesn't surprise me. And one of the things I thought about Vince bringing him to the performance center, the way I would do it was like quarantine him in the performance center. That way you can check them all and make sure they're healthy. Those that are not healthy, you quarantine them. The others, you leave them at the performance center. Rent out a hotel if you have to, whatever. Keep them away from everybody else and leave them. But to do that, they're going to be there probably a month at least. But you could still do your stuff.
Yeah.
The big problem, I think, for WrestleMania is so much of what pro wrestling is a reaction from the crowd.
I agree.
You know, as a performer, whether you're Brock Lesnar, the ultimate heel, or right now Drew McIntyre, who's the face in that match, those two are coming down. When Brock comes out with Paul Heyman, they know they're doing their job if people are booing or if they're reacting, whether they're booing or cheering. It's kind of like John Cena. He gets a boo and a cheer at the same time, and he doesn't care because he knows that the fans are responding to it. When Drew McIntyre comes out, he wants to get the loudest pop, they call it. That's the wrestling vernacular for a cheer. And that's how you know. And then as the match goes on, that's how you know the crowd. If the crowd's in it, you know you're doing your job well. Without that, I don't see how you can. And so if they do it and they go through it with it, kudos to them for doing it. I will say this. I watched a tag team match Friday night, I believe it was, between Heavy Machinery, who are my guys, and Miz and Morrison.
Who I can't stand.
Yeah, well, that's their job, right?
Yeah.
I appreciate the heck out of Miz because he is the most annoying heel ever.
He's a pain in the you-know-where.
Yeah. But that's what he's supposed to do. You know he does it well because he makes you mad. He does his thing. And I think the show they have with him and his wife is hilarious. But anyway, they are the ultimate heel tag team right now, and they're wrestling Heavy Machinery. And they continue the storyline with Otis and Dolph Ziggler. Brought Ziggler out there, and I'm going to tell you, those four guys plus Dolph Ziggler, they handled that really well. I thought they did a great job of carrying that story out. But I'm telling you, I believe in my heart it's going to be hard for those performers. Think about somebody like Shayna Baszler. It's her first time to be at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And she's not going to get to do it in front of a large crowd. And how does she know if what she's doing is working, you know?
It's not just you get is a
pat on the back from Vince and maybe the check they give you, but you're not going to know from the crowd standpoint if what you're doing is, you know, anyway.
It's not just wrestling, though. Like, one of the things that you and I are both big fans of is March Madness. And could you, and I've had the pleasure of being to the Final Four. I went to Indianapolis in the late 80s at the Indianapolis Dome with 75,000 people, screaming fans.
That's the one Syracuse one?
Yep, that was one Syracuse one. And let me tell you, and Syracuse is up this way, not far on the other side of Lake Ontario. And hearing all those fans, it was just incredible. Can you imagine that? I actually think without the fans in the stands, the score stays low, the comeback runs don't happen, and everything else kind of doesn't happen, kind of thing. And I think
I agree. You don't have a I'll tell you, and I know it's, you know, there's a reason home teams win a lot, right?
Yeah,
their fans can really wheel them on, and I think Arkansas, the Razorbacks, showed that this year. We played some monster games at home. We didn't win them all.
Yeah,
We had our share of comebacks on the road as well, but the comebacks really seem to happen at home. Yeah.
And as you know, I'm a staunch Raptors fan.
Yeah.
In Toronto. And I have to tell you, our fans are some of the greatest fans in the league. They're loud. And I can't just imagine walking in to an arena. And I've been in the Raptors practice facility, and it's like quiet. And I know these guys get charged. I have a friend of mine in another sport. His name is Jim Veltman, and he's one of the greatest professional lacrosse players ever to play the game. He's a school teacher professionally. And Jim, one of the things Jim said is, what a biggest head rush. Your part-time job is you walk onto a floor in Toronto before 18,000 fans. Who needs a head rush with that going on? So I get that.
Yeah, I mean, there's some really good NBA arenas, and you know, we have about four within this area that a lot of people here will go to. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma City has a lot of fans go there. Memphis is probably the closest. New Orleans and Dallas, those are all pretty close. And a lot of fans from Arkansas go to all those. Because you go watch, in fact, we have an Arkansas kid playing for Memphis right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and there was a kid from the Razorbacks who played at Dallas. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's still there, but you know, you have a lot of fans here that are Oklahoma City fans. You have, you know, Memphis fans, Grizzlies, yeah. You know, they don't go just to see the team though. They also go to see like maybe LeBron's in town that night.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe the Raptors are in town. Maybe Steph Curry's in town, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's another reason they go, is your chance to see, mm-hmm. you know, the big star. So.
Yeah. Let's switch gears for a minute. How's small business coping in Conway with everything going on in the world?
I have seen people in a lot of the small businesses I know in the area are like, you know, maybe they have a cleaning business, or, you know, lady I know makes custom soaps, that kind of thing. Yep. So they're very face-to-face, you know, and they've had to adjust. And so lady I know runs a cleaning business. I heard her say, saw her say on Facebook that she was doing consultations using Zoom now.
Good.
And then a client of mine sent me a message last week. Hey, can we get some on the website? I can do my consultation. He installs Windows. He installs other things, but Windows is his primary deal. And so he's got a certain way he does it. He gives free consultations, which we don't so much in our world, but in that world, they do free consultations. And so he likes to go meet them. And I mean, he likes to look them out and fill them out, mm-hmm. and build a trust with them. But he's offering to do that via FaceTime now.
Yep.
So, you know, it had to be a little innovative for some of these kind of businesses versus, you know, the digital. Yep. Businesses like ours. And we have, of course, the SBA is trying to offer some assistance to people who are really affected. The restaurants, I know they've laid people off because they really can't use the service right now at all. One guy I know locally, he got laid off at least 3 jobs in one day. And I know at least 1 or 2 of those were being a server at a restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah,
But the restaurants haven't closed per se. They've just closed the dining room, so they're still doing curbside takeout and mm-hmm. drive-through if they have it. But because you close the dining area, you don't really use the servers.
That's true.
So I noticed an RV company offering, and this was in Little Rock, which is the capital, 30 minutes away. They offered some RVs for healthcare professionals because you know, they can't really go home. I think some hotels have done the same thing.
Same thing here, yeah.
As well, to offer, you know, because I don't know, nobody's going to vacation. So, and we've had, they did a story at the local channel last week about a couple who was getting married and everything had to be postponed. They're in Texas now. They're getting married here, and then they're going to live in Texas. So the wedding got, I think they're going to come up and go to the courthouse and do the legal part of it, you know, and then have a celebration later when everything's settled down. But they've had to deal with, like, oh, we had flowers ordered, cake ordered, venue ordered, and they got to cancel or postpone early enough that it really didn't hurt them too much on that.
Yeah.
Didn't hurt the flowers because they hadn't ordered the flowers. Didn't hurt the cake because they hadn't made the cake, hadn't ordered stuff yet, you know, that kind of thing. And I know, you know, my niece got married right before all this hit.
Yeah.
And it was a big wedding. They had it at President Clinton Library in Little Rock and went all out on it. And like the following week, like the wedding was Saturday. Wednesday night, Mom and I were watching Razorbacks in the SEC tournament. And while we were watching the game, it came across that the NBA had shut down the season.
Yeah.
And everything just started dominoing from there.
And to be fair, it was really the NBA and the NHL, the National Hockey League, that started the domino. And then the big domino, to go back yesterday, was Canada made an announcement Sunday night they would not be going to the Olympics. Australia followed behind. And then, of course, last night, which was Monday night, we hear – what's happening, that the Olympics are postponed, but that was because Canada started a domino and started that mess. So
yeah, and I think probably you have a couple of big countries that said, you know, we're not going to go. That makes them start to rethink it, but they really shouldn't. It shouldn't have got to that point, I don't think. I mean, I know Olympics is a big deal. It's every 4 years, and you got athletes in Canada, the United States, and other countries that are, like, just selling out for this event. But, you know, it's just I have never – my mom says she's never seen anything like it. And, you know, she's
– How old's your mom, Todd? I forget.
74.
Okay, my mom's 75, and my brother lives with my mom, and we've basically forbid my mom to go anywhere right now with all the stuff going on, because we all know the high-risk category is 65 and up pretty well. So,
yeah, you got a lot of stuff going around, other I don't want to get into controversial stuff. But
yeah, we don't need to. Yeah, I agree. It's funny. I was in the bank today, and I was talking to one of my favorite bank tellers, and we were having a conversation a week ago when I was in there, how she had to cancel a trip to Montreal from Toronto and because of all this. And the conversation we had a week ago was we both expected this to blow up, and, you know. So,
there's questions about how much longer it'll last. When will it be flat, and when will be the peak? And I just don't, you know, and some people obviously think it's overblown. And I have to admit, there are days that I wonder one way or the other, is it really worth all this? And I'm not a healthcare professional. I don't have that kind of knowledge. And whenever I talk to friends who are in the business, they're like, yeah, we got to take it seriously. So
yeah, it is serious. What I would say, having worked through SARS in the epicenter, which for SARS was Toronto, we need to take it seriously. People need to listen to governments, and governments need to get on the same page. So I really don't want to turn this chat into a political chat, but one thing I'm thankful for is in Canada right now, our government's all on the same page, and I think that's kind of helping our situation a little bit. I know we have a mutual friend, Devinder, who's in India, and India's going to full lockdown as of tonight.
But they just now.
Yeah. And we're basically in full lockdown in Ontario for essential services only. So we've done that.
Well, I came home last Friday, I think it was, or maybe Thursday, Friday. And the guy across the street and his daughter works for the local police department. And he had somebody else who's got some kind of bench. And he said, the word is that we're going to have a lockdown really soon.
Yeah.
And coming from some credible sources. And I took that pretty seriously. And I'd already kind of brought my stuff home anyway. And so we haven't had a mandated lockdown. It's more or less, we really, really think you should stay home unless necessary. So, but we're probably going to have to get to that, unfortunately, because you still have people that shouldn't be out wandering around that are wandering around. Yeah. And you know, we saw what happened in Florida, and I don't want to get into that either, but.
Our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, came out in an interview yesterday at 11 o'clock in his news briefing, and he started about it out with the words, just stay home. Mm-hmm. And he was actually angry. And today, while I was out for a walk in my community, there was a sign in front of a Jewish synagogue. And the basically what the sign read was, please stay home, staying home saves lives. And I think we just got to get to the point, unfortunately, Todd, where we bite the bullet and just deal with this and support each other and do what we're doing, get on the Zoom chats, chat on Facebook, pick up the phone and call people. If you got to go out, call somebody older than you, especially older than 65, and say, can I get you anything? And
you bring up the Jewish synagogue putting the sign up, and I think that was good. And I know there's a great deal of strength in community, faith communities meeting together, and I understand that as well. I really appreciate the podcast you had the other day with your friend and talking about how churches has been streamed.
I'm glad you liked that.
Yeah, and so, you know, our church has been doing that for over a year, and we have some others that are, you know, scrambling to do that. It's really not that hard to do.
Nope.
You know, my mom was telling me that even the church my aunt goes to back in Batesville is a really, really, really small church with an older congregation. Even they are doing it. And I said, well, there's somebody there that knows how to do it. And it's all, that's all there is to it.
Really, all you need is a good internet connection, a laptop. And if you want to do it on a cheap, go get a C920 Logitech camera and get a good audio source. And what I really like for audio sources is, and we talked, Jeff and I talked about this, is go get a Sennheiser remote kit. So basically the way the remote kit comes is it comes with a dongle that will screw into an XLR soundboard, which is the standard soundboard that most audio mics use professionally. And then they have a receiver that you can plug right into a laptop for good audio in, and away you go. And that cost of that kit is about $1,000. The camera's a couple hundred or a hundred, and away you go. And that's doing it on the real cheap. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it can be done fairly easily. Even if you're a really small congregation, I reckon you could use a smartphone and really do it. There have been some churches that have basically done kind of a drive-through type deal here. Yep. I don't know if that really saves anything or not, but at least they're trying somewhat to observe the 6 feet rule.
Yeah, as RPM says, and you know, we are all in this together. And I don't mean just in Canada, I think worldwide we're all in this.
Our friends in Italy are just real, and I've never seen anything like that in my lifetime.
Spain. We have a mutual friend who's in Germany.
Jan.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we got mutual friends all over the world. And I did have a conversation with the guy last week from Nigeria, and the tropical climates have not had the kind of problems we have, obviously. I think he said they had one case. That was as of like Friday or something like that. So
that's going to change, I hate to tell you.
It probably will, but the tropical climates, I did notice when I was looking at the world maps, and maybe it's because it's underreported, I don't know, but I noticed that Africa was largely fairly untouched compared to the rest of the world. So I don't know, maybe that, it could be because it's underreported, I don't know. But we've got friends all over the world, and they're all, I mean, I think UK has finally done a real lockdown, so
3 weeks now. So, all I can say is, I think you share the sentiment, let's just take care of each other, take care of our families, take care of our friends, worry about, if you get bored, do what Todd and I are doing, jump on a Zoom call. You don't have to record it, but, share some time with some people.
I've been doing Facebook Lives with the local media site that I run with local people, and I've done two now. I got a third one scheduled for Thursday. Good. I think it's, it's just something for people to do, and really can do some stuff I wanted to do all along that I've been putting off. And I think this might be a interesting scenario to see where it goes. I think both of them have done pretty well in response, and I'm trying to get them far enough ahead of time that I can actually make an event on the Facebook page and then kind of promote it a little bit. Yeah. So I've seen musicians, I don't know if anybody's listening to this and they're a musician, you can stream yourself playing as well. I have seen that twice in the last week.
We have a guy in the Toronto area who's offering free guitar lessons on his Instagram page every day.
Sure.
And he's doing really well with it.
I think it's a great idea. I mean, but musicians, another kind of, that's a big problem because many of them play, and for some of them, that's their main source of income.
Yep.
And the places are shut down. And so what my friend Townsend did Friday night, she had about three or four ways you could do tips. Every time she played somewhere, she has a tip jar, and then she has merch. So she set up a place and had her roommate to record it, and her dog Bailey made an appearance, and it was really good. And she had Cash App and Venmo and PayPal, like three or four different ways you could do a donation. And I thought it was pretty well done. I saw another couple, I think in the Northwest Arkansas, somebody else posted, and they were really good. They were playing and they were in their PJ. They kind of called it a PJ party. It was very good. I think that's a unique thing that musicians can do. You can take advantage of the the payment apps to get your tips and even sell your merchandise from your website. Sometimes you just have to think outside the box a little bit.
I agree. Anyway, I want to thank you. Todd is one of the best copywriters I know. He's down to earth. He's really good at what he does. If somebody's looking for some copywriting stuff now, and I encourage businesses to get their stuff done now because you got to plan for the inevitable of your business starting back up. How's the best way to get a hold of you, Todd?
Copyflat.com. Email me at todd@copyflat.com if you're interested in doing that. Get you set up, get you going.
Yeah. Yeah, and check out Todd's free webpage framework, homepage framework. Sorry, that is.
Yeah, the homepage and about page framework. If you go to the web, the blog post that's about homepages.
Yep.
The homepage framework's there, and if you go to the blog post about the about pages, the about page framework is there, and they're part of the website copy framework. You get more when you buy the entire copy framework. I've actually had some copywriters who recently. Other copywriters I know look at it and they're like, this is really good. So yeah. I'm really pleased with that. And we'll offer the one-off for, you know, your regular business owner consultant to help write your web page or website. And then I'm working on releasing a white label for other agencies. Interestingly, a copywriter bought the first one. So, I guess if you're an agency of any kind, digital marketing, copywriting, content marketing, or website agency, you could probably use that to help your client write their content. So,
yeah,
there you go.
Anyway, thanks, Todd. You have an awesome day. And to everybody out there, be well and take care of yourself. Talk to you all soon. Bye for now.